Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Tuesday, December 3rd. Hopefully you didn't get bit by last night's game. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. I did in a league, and that's all right. It happens. Losses happen. Jerry Jeudy. Today on the podcast, we should talk about last night's game. I'll give you a quick rundown of some of the latest news from around the NFL, including, yes, two San Francisco running backs going to IR, and then we'll talk about the top 10 waiver ads of the week. FTNFantasy.com, you know the website. Promo code RATPACK gets you 10% off. Let's dive into last night's action, though, first and foremost. This was the most quintessential Jameis Winston game ever. He threw for 497 and four, and three interceptions, with two of them as pick sixes. I mean, he had a career game that they lost because of his mistakes. I mean, that is so Jameis Winston. Jameis has a 30-30 season, 30 passing touchdowns, 30-plus and 30-plus interceptions. He has a 5,000-yard season. I mean, all of this checks out. And he played pretty good football for most of the game. He was fine. Receivers left and right, David Njoku early and often, and then eventually Jerry Jeudy taking over this game. He hits Jeudy on a bomb. And it was good because he missed Jeudy on a bomb earlier. It could have been two massive long touchdowns for Jeudy, but still, Jeudy against his old team, nine catches, 235, and a score. Njoku had the two scores, 9 for 52, and even Elijah Moore getting in the mix with 8 for 111. So the biggest takeaway is, can Jameis be a streamer here? Because obviously Jeudy's moving up. He's going to have to be considered a wide receiver too going forward. I don't know if Jameis is a streamer. And I'll tell you exactly why. He faces Pittsburgh on the road this week. He faces Kansas City next week. If you're lucky enough to get through those two, then you get Cincinnati, and I like that in week 16, but that's when he becomes a streamer for me. Of course, I have him in the waiver wire tool, and we'll, you know, this week, given how thin it is on waivers, he potentially even is a top 10 option, but I don't love the matchup this week. But anytime a dude puts up almost 500 yards, you have to take account there. The highest yardage total in Browns history. Isn't it wild they paid Deshaun Watson, and meanwhile Joe Flacco and Jameis Winston step into this offense and show what you can really do? Anyway, Jerome Ford significantly outsnapped Nick Chubb. Is that because Jerome Ford is ahead of Nick Chubb? No, it's because they played from behind for most of this contest, and that's why he played 55 snaps compared to 29 for Nick Chubb. They could play from behind a lot going down the stretch, so maybe Jerome Ford is worth a roster spot in deeper leagues. Otherwise, I think Elijah Moore is probably the best add there. Over to the other side, honestly, Bo Nix looked really good to start and then cooled off from there. He still managed 294 and a touchdown, didn't do anything as a runner in this one, so wasn't the best fantasy option. But obviously, Cortland Sutton still doing his thing, 6 for 102. Nobody else really did much of anything in the passing game with the exception of Mims. And even there, I'm like, he didn't really do that much. He had a 93-yard touchdown, and that's it. I mean, really, other than that, he had 12 yards on two catches. I'm not going to take the touchdown away from him, but it's not something I think is even remotely sustainable in fantasy. So that leaves us with the backfield. Jaleel McLaughlin very much had the hot hand in this game, 14 for 84. I don't think there's any fantasy value here. I am still avoiding this backfield like the plague. And case in point, now Javonte Williams only had four carries for a yard. He did have a touchdown, but look at the participation. In this game, in the backfield, Jaleel McLaughlin did not lead the way. He played 22 snaps. Javonte Williams played 27. 8 for Audric Estime, by the way. So what does that mean? None of them are over 50% in terms of snap share. None of them are particularly valuable. Avoid that backfield. All right, let's move on to the biggest news from yesterday. Of course, the San Francisco 49ers placing not only Christian McCaffrey, but Jordan Mason, also on injured reserve. Man, we just can't have anything nice, can we? Finally got McCaffrey back. Hopefully, if you were rostering him, well, hopefully you weren't necessarily banking on him for the long term here, because even if you cuffed him, didn't even matter. They both go out. This is a lost season for the 49ers. And yes, Garendo steps in. You're going to hear me. Garendo's going to be number one in a few minutes, sure. But I don't think this is a league winner, as people like to say, because, well, he's stepping into a situation that isn't like what Jordan Mason stepped into early in the season. Honestly, the 49ers look pretty darn good early in the season. In the middle stretch here, they've cooled off. And a lot of it, I mean, it has to do with all these injuries accumulating. You have injury along the offensive line. You're losing key defensive players, or defensive players are playing hurt. It's just not last year's team. If Isaac Garendo stepped into last year's 49ers roster in week 14, yeah, probably a league winner, probably a top five guy. But I don't want to get out over my skis on this one. Right now, I'm viewing him as, you know, top 20 for sure. Could he be top 12? Maybe. Top 20 for sure. That's all I can do at this point. Now, we do know he's big, he's fast, and he has explosive playmaking ability, but he is not as good of a runner as Jordan Mason, or certainly nowhere near as close as Christian McCaffrey. Even a late career, Christian McCaffrey is still pretty stinking good. So, do we still spend it all? Yeah, I do think we will. And I'll go over that in a minute, because these guys just don't grow on trees. And it's a really weak waiver wire week for sure. The other player going to injured reserve is Taysom Hill. That stinks, because it looked like we're going to, you know, finally get a full blast of Taysom Hill down the stretch. Not going to happen. So Juwan Johnson is the likely next man up in terms of pass catchers. Nobody's going to do what Taysom Hill did. It's just a bit of a mess there. You have Alvin Kamara, and then a whole heck of a lot of nothing else. Let me run through a few other things. We're keeping an eye on Ladd McConkey. He's working through a couple things, according to Jim Harbaugh. We won't know anything until the first practice report of the week comes out. That is the Sunday night game, Kansas City and the Chargers. So we'll await that first practice report. Don't freak out if he goes DNP. We should know better than that by now. First practice report of the week doesn't really mean that much. We really need three practice reports to get any strong determination on these guys. So we'll take it day by day with Ladd McConkey. Baker Mayfield sore, but he should play, according to Todd Bowles. He had his Achilles stepped on, so that was a little frustrating. But he should be good. We'll just keep an eye on him regardless. We did hear about Josh Downs. Now, they don't play this week, of course. They are headed into bye, so we have another bye-mageddon this week. The Colts are on bye. As everybody knows, the Ravens and the Texans are on bye. Very frustrating there. Otherwise, the remaining teams on bye this week, the Patriots, the Broncos, the Commanders. So not a great week here. But still, Josh Downs, will he be back after this bye? Shane Steichen doesn't know. And that's usually a not a good thing right there. We could see Dallas Goedert go to short-term injured reserve. That would be the remainder of the fantasy season, right? If you go to injured reserve this week, you're done for the fantasy season. So in redraft leagues, they could be dropped. We don't know yet if it's going to happen, but be prepared here with Dallas Goedert. He had that nice little stretch earlier in the season when, you know, AJ Brown and Devontae Smith were banged up. But otherwise, he's just been a regular streamer tight end for the most part. He did at least score this past week, but Grant Calcaterra would step in. He'd only be a deep league option. One other interesting note here, I've gotten a lot of questions about Deontay Johnson, and the common question is, would you drop him? And the answer I always have with any player is, I will drop a player if there's somebody better to add. Now, it's going to be hard to probably find somebody who isn't better to add than Deontay Johnson right now, and we have no idea when his role is going to ramp up. They're heading into bye this week. Do they ramp it up down the stretch? I have no clue. But you likely could find somebody better to add. But that is the question. It's not, should I drop this guy? It's, do I have somebody better to add? If we start thinking in those terms, we're going to make better drop ads when it is time to make those decisions. All right, what decisions are we making on the waiver wire this week? Let's get into the top 10 ads of the week. Of course, you know Isaac Garendo is the number one ad. Duh. He's worth all your fab, 50 to 100%. I would not hesitate to spend it all. Now, I don't think he's necessarily a league winner. As I said, it's not the same case as, say, last year's 49ers squad. But even if he's a top 20 guy going forward, he's still worth all the fab. He's still worth the number one priority. I'm not a huge fan of holding on to the number one priority. I think that's a dated strategy that doesn't work. You know, in today's fantasy football, I think it costs people more than it benefits them. But regardless, he's the number one. Number two on the list is Jerry Jeudy. He'd also be 50 to 100%. I realize he's not out there in a lot of leagues, and maybe he's not out there in any competitive leagues, but on ESPN, he's available 31% of leagues. Yahoo, it's 55% of leagues. So for some reason, he's getting passed over here. And it's just one of those, like, just double check. He's probably not available, but just double check. All right, number three, I'm going Gus Edwards. I really don't love this ad, you know, at all, but you may be screwed at running back. And why I don't love it is I don't think that he's anything more than a flex play, but he is a flex play. He was the lead back in the backfield this week. They used a little bit of Kamani Vidal. They very sparingly used Hassan Haskins. So Gus Edwards, he's still touchdown dependent, but they are going to prioritize the run, and he should get enough work to at least be in the flex conversation. Number four, I'm going Hunter Henry. Yes, they had a bye this week, but he's, you know, he's a 4 to 7% type of guy. At tight end right now, the position is, it's rough, and the waiver wire is largely picked over. So if he's for some reason out there, you know, this is the point of the year where I don't hate rostering two tight ends if it's going to put myself in a position, like, let's say I have a streamer for this week and, you know, somebody like Pat Freiermuth, who's just outside of my top 10. Would I rather use Pat Freiermuth or Hunter Henry in any given week? Well, Hunter Henry in most instances, yes. So moving forward to next week, then I would have Henry to fall back to, and then I could get rid of Freiermuth. So I don't hate that right now. It's not something I would do in week three, but being that we're headed towards the postseason and we do need to pave our way, I would at least go that route. Now, the one thing I'm not necessarily doing, you know, somebody had asked me, which quarterback do you like in week 16? And it's like, wow, that's too far in advance. So I'm not necessarily planning for that sort of thing at this point. Ideally, I have a quarterback that I'm using already, and that would be my quarterback for week 16. But I don't hate the Hunter Henry ad this week, just from a, you know, minor strategic standpoint. Russell Wilson, 4 to 7%, coming off of a 400-yard game. The schedule is a little tricky. He is the top streamer option, but looking at the schedule, so the Pittsburgh Steelers this upcoming week get Cleveland, which I don't mind, but then they get Philly, then Baltimore, and Baltimore could go one of the, you know, could go either way. Baltimore sometimes has been a fantastic matchup, but, you know, granted, when he faced him in week 11, he had 205 and no passing scores. So I don't want to just assume that that's a pushover. So this week, at least, I don't mind the Cleveland matchup. Philly's going to be tough. Baltimore's going to be tough. Kansas City's going to be tough. So, like, if you're streaming Russell Wilson, it's probably only for this week in one quarterback leagues. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, 4 to 7% on him. The key with him isn't the touchdowns. I never am going to chase touchdowns because I realize how that story ends. It doesn't end well. If you chase touchdowns, you know, that's the sword. If you live by the sword, you can also die by the sword. What I do chase is volume, and his volume hasn't been that bad, and especially this past week. Like, it's improved. This week, he sees 8 targets this past week. So that's a rock solid range right there. I don't hate that at all, and especially because he is, you know, a touchdown producer, that's sort of icing on the cake. It's not what I'm chasing. I'm chasing the volume. But I don't mind it for Westbrook-Ikhine. Adam Thielen, 3 to 5%. Yes, he's an older player. And yes, I know I don't like older players at this point in the year. The nice thing about Adam Thielen, though, he is an older player who has not played much this season. Now, due to injury, but still, he's fresher than he ordinarily would be at this time of the year. That helps. And it showed this past week with Bryce Young playing better. Thielen goes out, has nearly 100 yards. I know, 99. He has the 8 catches. He has 10 targets, catches the touchdown, almost had 2 touchdowns. I mean, he looks like his vintage self. And if all we need is a month of that. We don't need him to do that over 17 games. We need him to do this, like, flex or better for 4 weeks, which isn't asking anywhere near as much. Jaylen Warren is at 8. Still have him as a top 10 guy because he's available in enough leagues. 30% ESPN leagues, actually 49% on Yahoo. He's not the handcuff to Najee Harris. And how do I know this? Because Najee Harris briefly exited the game this past week, and it was Cordarrelle Patterson who took over his role, not Warren. Warren is a passing down back, but he's a passing down back in a relatively potent offense that really likes to use multiple running backs. So he could be flex worthy at points moving forward here, especially this upcoming week. I have two quarterbacks to round out the top 10. I already told you Pat Freiermuth is at 11. I'll give you 12 today. How about that? But the two quarterbacks at the back end, Caleb Williams and Jameis Winston, both coming off of big games. So Caleb puts up the three passing scores on Thanksgiving. Jameis puts up nearly 500 yards. But Caleb Williams, so Thomas Brown apparently is going to retain play calling duties. I don't know if that's too much on his plate now that he's the interim head coach as well. How about that rise too? He went from being the quarterbacks coach or was he passing game coordinator? Regardless, he was down in the ranks to offensive coordinator after a firing to now head coach after a firing. That is crazy. That's like a Gerald Ford-like rise to the top. Yeah, that's I know, a Dennis Miller reference. What do you want from me? Anyway, I like the way he's been calling the offense for Caleb, so I think that does help here. As far as Jameis is concerned, it is a schedule thing as well. And let me do both. Let me do the Bears schedule first, just so we have a sense here of what we're dealing with from a streamer standpoint. So upcoming for the Chicago Bears, and who knows what this will look like down the stretch. They get the 49ers. I actually don't hate that this week. That's why he's ahead of Jameis. Then they get the Vikings. I don't like that. The Lions, I don't like that. Seattle could go either way for the championship round. So he's more of a streamer this week. I don't think he'll be a playoff streamer. Now let's go to Jameis, which is a different scenario. So Jameis's schedule this week, Pittsburgh, don't like it. Next week, Kansas City, don't like it. But listen to this. If you are going to carry two quarterbacks and you are going to make it to week 16, which there's no guarantees there, Cincinnati in week 16. I like the Cincinnati contest. He did not, well, he technically played in that game. That was the game that Watson, was that the game he got hurt in, the Bengals game way back when? Because DTR also played and Jameis came in and he had a touchdown 67 yards in that game. So I think that was the game. But I like that. And then I like Miami to round it out. I really don't mind that whatsoever. So Jameis, is Jameis going to win people championships? Come on. Anyway, I mentioned I would go to 12 here. So Pat Freiermuth and then Parker Washington is at 12. Broke out. It was a 100-yard game, but more importantly, it was a 12-target game. That is what's most interesting to me. As of right now, I don't know who's going to be quarterback, but I really don't think it's going to be Trevor Lawrence. You never know with concussion protocol, but that was such a nasty one that it's really hard to envision a scenario where he clears and is right back out there this week. So, you know, even so, Mac Jones wasn't bad for Parker Washington this past week. So I think that's fine. All right. So this is going to round out the show for today. I'll be back on this feed on Thursday. Just as a heads up. So the way that things work when I do these podcasts, the schedule is I'm going to go straight up through the fantasy championship round with the regular schedule. Then we're going to take the foot off the gas pedal in week 18. I'll still be doing podcasts, but I'm not going to necessarily be doing five a week. So I'll come up with that schedule, though, and I'll get it to you in advance so you know what to expect for the offseason. Don't go away in the offseason. You know, we're going to have fantasy postseason content at ftmfantasy.com, and I'll be doing it on this podcast. I'll still be doing the previews for all the playoff games. We may be able to get into a little bit more DFS and betting at that point. Not as much. You know, obviously, we won't focus on season long because I won't be here. Then we get into rookie content as we head toward the combine. I'm going to be at the combine this year. We'll keep doing that all the way up to the NFL draft, dynasty startup content, best ball content, and we just keep rolling. So keep listening in the offseason. There is something for everybody for sure in the offseason. Remember, tomorrow I'll be on the FTN Fantasy Football podcast feed, so make sure you're subscribed to that. Otherwise, I'll catch you back here on Thursday at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, on Blue Sky, on Instagram, ftnfantasy.com. All right, I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.